Hello and welcome to Retrospection, and as the curtain rises and the lights flicker into life, it's a musical journey through the paths of love, horror and fantasy as we cast the spotlight on Brian De Palma's rock musical Phantom of the Paradise from 1974.
I thought you were talking about my life for a second then, I got worried.
Well, I did say horror, but I also mentioned love, so it couldn't be your personal life.
This is true, no love here.
Hello, my name's Colin, and I'm under contract too.
For what?
For this podcast, I signed in blood.
It is true, actually. I was there. I saw it happen.
You made me do it.
Well, I didn't make you.
You were there. You had to be there. You made me. You're the devil.
Well, I didn't hold you down.
But you did. With lemon-scented candles.
I took you out for a meal first.
Yeah.
Buttered you up.
Ooh, it's not last tango in Paris, is it?
And my name's Paul, and I would never let my personal desires influence my aesthetic judgment.
Yeah, you would. All the time.
Name an instance when I've done that.
Oh, I can't, for legal reasons.
Yeah, you probably best leave it there, actually. Yeah.
The film stars Paul Williams as Swan, who wrote the score and the lyrics for Bugsy Malone.
Yeah, he's a legend.
William Finley as Winslow Leach. Jessica Harper as Phoenix. Garrett Graham.
Yes.
Is that right? Beef. George Mimoli as Philbin. And Archie Hann as the Juicy Fruits. That's what you call your man boobs, right?
Well, they are tasty.
Who says?
Everyone, Colin.
Really? Everyone that you forced them onto.
I almost said, yeah, they're full of moisture, but, you know, only in the summer. Well, look at his face.
That's a horrifying thought. All I'm thinking of is mold. Director is Brian De Palma. Writers are Brian De Palma and Louisa Rose, who's uncredited.
Brian De Palma.
I've said that.
Directed this movie, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
A director who was often cited as the leading member of the new Hollywood generation of film directors. People like George Lucas, Francis Ford Coppola, Steven Spielberg, John Milius. Yes, that Brian De Palma.
He's done some films.
Yeah, he has. You're right.
All right, that came out wrong. I mean, his choices often...
It's this deep knowledge that people listen to this podcast for.
Is it?
You know that Brian De Palma. He's done some films.
His choices are quite... mixed, aren't they? It's quite a mixed bag of choices that he chooses to do.
Favourite Brian De Palma films? Not including this one, obviously, because that would give the game away.
Obviously, The Untouchables. He's got to be up there, hasn't it?
Yes.
And I do kind of like Dress to Kill.
I thought you didn't like it.
I've watched it again since the first time I watched it, and I've learned to appreciate it a little bit better now. I think it was the twist that got me last time. Kind of irritating.
You're slagging it off left, right, and centre when you told me you'd seen it.
Yeah, and I've
You've grown.
I've grown
since
a
then.
Bit since then. I've watched it.
Was it 6 months ago?
I think it was a bit longer than that. I think it was this time last year.
This time last year.
I've been watching a lot of Italian exploitation cinema, and so maybe that's softened me up to Dress to Kill a little bit. So
I can see that because it is lit.
Yeah, it's very giallo, isn't it?
Yeah. I like Blowout.
Is that a confession?
Yeah, after a huge meal. I just love it. I like Rip, I do.
That's the Travolta movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Any others?
All right. Probably just can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, I've got one, but I can't really say until the end. So, not to give anything away.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. Sissy Spacek was the set dresser.
Yeah, and apparently she did such a bad job that it cost a day's worth of filming.
I've seen this film. How do you do a bad set dressing for it?
It's that age-old question, isn't it? Like, you know, how do you, in a really bad work situation, how do you make... Don't laugh at me. How do you make it worse? And she was Sissy Spacek. She was...
She was Sissy Spacek. That was her name. You're right.
You know, Sissy Spacek is really difficult to say, especially when you've had a couple of drinks.
What?
Yeah.
Oh well, I'm drinking. What is this? You won't be familiar with it. I think people call it water. It's quite tasteless, but it's good for you.
No, I don't know what that is.
No,
never heard of that one. Yeah, she lost out to Jessica Harper for the role of Phoenix. She auditioned for it but didn't get it.
I like Jessica Harper in this. She's good.
Yeah, she's really good in another musical a few years later called, which is another bonkers out there movie called Shock Treatment. I don't know if you've seen that.
Is that supposed to be the follow-up to Rocky Horror Picture
Kind of.
Is it only in the sense that it has similar people in it? Is it that kind of sequel?
It has Brad and Janet in it, but not played by the same actor and actress that played them in Rocky Horror. In fact, Jessica Harper, I think she plays Janet in it.
I think she does, yeah.
She's good in that. Oh. She's got a great voice.
Yeah, is that her actually singing in this film?
Yeah, she's got a great voice.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah.
It's very sultry and treacly, I find.
All right, interesting. You're sounding like you're talking about a wine. But actually, wine connoisseurs are very similar to audiophiles. They describe things in the same kind of way.
That's very true. They use a lot of tactile expressions, don't they, to describe things. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you had to choose a tactile expression to describe this movie, what would you use?
Fuzzy felt.
I'd go with wet.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. In a good way, obviously.
Oh, in a good way. Yeah. Can wet ever be a bad way? I suppose it could be.
Do you really want to go there on the podcast?
Not really.
I don't think you do. This movie was a flop when it was released, surprisingly. Although, apparently it did well in Winnipeg, Canada.
Why there in particular?
Hey, why did Voyage of the Rock Aliens do well in Germany?
Oh, that's the place where David Hasselhoff also did well. So there is, you know, history there.
I guess so. But yeah, that's the only place it did well. Daft Punk, you remember them?
Yes, I do.
This is one of the... they call it a major influence on the music and work.
Explains a lot.
It does. In the original screenplay, Swan was named Spectre. And apparently the character was based loosely on Phil Spectre. They almost got it right, didn't they, really? You're thinking about it.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know this was a documentary.
It might as well be. This is interesting because, and we'll probably talk about why in a minute, but it was, this was originally going to be called just The Phantom, but the people that ran the Phantom comic strip demanded that it be changed.
Oh, yeah.
And we are going to do that movie next, aren't we?
I think so, yeah. The Billy Zane film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't done a Billy Zane movie yet, surprisingly, have we?
Yeah, that's true, we haven't.
How could we have not done the great Billy Zane yet?
We should do a Zane-a-thon.
We should.
Yeah.
Top three Billy Zane performances.
Oh, Christ, I'll have to...
I know, you don't have to.
I don't. Who knows Billy Zane films off the top of their head? Do you? Could you name three off the top of your head?
I bet even he can't name three movies he's been in.
Even his mum can. And I like Billy Zane.
I like Billy Zane as well. Got nothing against Billy Zane. Yeah.
Nope. Just can't remember what he's been in.
The film was subject to various lawsuits. They had one from the estate of Gaston Leroux, the writer of Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, well, I can see that.
They had one from Universal Pictures.
Oh, because it borrows from some of their horror types material.
And then, like I said, they had problems with the Phantom comic strip people as well. So there was a lot of trouble going on in this movie, I think, behind the scenes.
Yeah, was it worth the effort?
We'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, we will.
Garrett Graham, the great Garrett Graham, who you seem to not recognise from anything else.
Nope. Tell me, lay it on me, Paul. Where will I have seen him before?
Chud 2, Bud the Chud.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm.
He was very unwell during the making of this movie.
Why? What was wrong with him?
I couldn't find out what was wrong with him, but I know when he did his big number, Life at Last, he could barely walk, apparently.
Oh. Must be those pants are tight, though.
They are very tight. Yes.
Yeah,
very
so maybe that's why.
Cutting off circulation to your innards.
Yeah.
Mm. And your outers.
Both, even.
Yeah. Brian De Palma considered either the Rolling Stones or the Who to portray the singing group in the movie, but they proved too costly. You can see that, can't
Well,
you?
That's a surprise, yeah. Yeah, anyone over a tenner.
There's also, this is one for you, actually, because you're into your novelizations. There's an infamous novelization of this movie. Apparently it's notorious for its rushed writing style. We've never been accused of that, would we?
No. Don't know what you mean.
And apparently it removes any and all supernatural elements from the story and turns Winslow and Phoenix into much more perverse and unsympathetic characters.
This was published?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely going to track this.
Yeah,
down.
I thought you might, yeah. Again, I'm getting hints of Flash Gordon novelization.
Yes, yes.
I wonder, I'd be interested if it was written by the same guy, wouldn't it? That would explain a lot, wouldn't
it? Yeah, now I'm thinking, yeah. Mm.
And the film was originally slated to be released in the summer of 1972, but ended up coming out around 74's Halloween period. And I think that was probably due to a lot of post-production problems and changes that they had to make to things because of all these lawsuits and everything that was going on.
So it's 50 years old this year. I got to say, though, 50 years old, it doesn't, even though obviously its style is dated, it doesn't feel like a movie that's 50 years old.
I thought the exact same thing when I was watching it, that it feels like a modern movie set in the 70s.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Budget was $1.3 million. Do you want to take a stab at how much it grossed, Colin?
Right. So it lost money. We know that.
Ooh,
much,
it lost
right?
money, all right.
All right, okay. And so you said it like that. 100,000.
You're being a little harsh. A little harsh.
Am I? So 250,000?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 250,000. Okay.
But it has grown over the years into this. It is a massively cult movie. Lots of people love this movie. I know people that like this movie and talk about it a lot.
Oh, poof. They're going to be disappointed.
I think they do listen, actually. So, yeah, this could be interesting.
Yeah. Would you group this film with Voyage of the Rock Aliens and Streets of Fire, those kind of films?
Definitely Streets of Fire. I think it's a cut above Voyage of the Rock Aliens, as much as I like that movie. I think it's a little above that. Oh, please, no.
Oh, that's it's interesting you said that,
oh,
Paul.
Oh, dear. All right, okay. I am genuinely looking forward to finding out what you think about this, because I don't know which side of the fence you're gonna jump on here.
Let's also make one thing clear. You've seen this numerous times, right?
Oh, yeah. I have, yeah.
Yeah. And you're wearing a T-shirt with it on. Your T-shirt right now second, because you are that sad.
I thought I'd make an effort for the podcast.
Yeah, you thought you'd put it right. I've never seen this before. This was my first time.
Yeah. That's why I suggested it, because I'm curious to find out what you think.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Let's go.
Well, let's get on with it. So, how do you even start?
Well, we get an opening narration by Rod Serling, of all people, don't we?
We do, mm-hmm. Yes. Did you record this? Do you have it written down?
No.
Okay.
Did you?
No. All right. can't stop doing that these days.
Well, it basically just tells you how evil Swan's going to be. And there is something mysterious about him that no one quite knows what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we kind of open with a band that's called the Juicy Fruits, and they're doing like a 1950s style number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right? Although they're acting a little weird because they're attacking members of the audience. Yeah. And... but it looks like it's all contrived, because once they get attacked, they kind of move away out of shot. So it's all like an act.
I thought that they were filming something for like a TV show or something like that. Yeah. One of them's going around in the background feeding Juicy Fruits to the rest of the band. Did you notice that?
Yeah. No, I didn't, but that's the name of the band, so that must be their gimmick, right? And then this band will change styles throughout the film as need be. They become a goth band at some point.
It's a good song, though, to open it with.
It's a good song, and it's very reminiscent of that 1950s where someone died or kills himself over a woman, or the woman's in a car crash.
Yeah.
Tell Laura I love her. That kind of
that's the one.
Yeah. So it's got that feel about it.
Yeah, because the song ends with the lead singer mock stabbing himself, and there's an one point he wraps the microphone cord around his and pretends to like overdose or something.
Yeah.
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 But it's good. I like the opening. It gets you straight away.
It grabs you.
Gets you G'd up. Yeah.
And then we get Winslow Leach, right?
Yeah, his first song at the piano. It's kind of Gilbert O'Sullivan-esque, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Nice ballad, would you say? Bit of a ballad?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, it's a bit of a ballad. Yeah.
And Swan likes that song, right?
Mm-hmm. And he wants to steal it.
And he's going to get his second-in-command, Philbin, to steal it for him. And they're never going to pay Winslow any money for this.
Oh, no, they plan on screwing him out of everything, don't they?
Yeah, but they're going to pretend that they're going to produce him.
Yeah. And Philbin is also kind of like the sleazy, I'll do anything for Swan henchman kind of guy, which I'm sure that these people exist in the music industry.
I think they exist in podcasts too.
What are you trying to say, Colin?
Nothing. Let's move on.
No one's holding you down. No.
Remember that contract?
When have I ever screwed you out of anything?
Oh, glad you finished that sentence.
Nobody's listening as Winslow's performing his song either. Did you notice that?
Well, they're just going on about the business.
Everyone's just walking, doing what they need to do in the studio and just ignoring him completely.
Right. And I see someone walking behind him and stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a good song.
I do like William Finley's performance in this, because he starts the movie off being so kind of innocent and naive, doesn't he? And by the end of it, he's a monster.
Yeah, I do think you could have turned it up a bit, though.
Well, be even more bonkers the more
he
becomes.
Yeah. And there's a reason for that. And
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you the reason when it appears. At least think so. Anyway, it's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. We do see that he's got a bit of a violent side, though, even at the beginning, because when Philbin mentions that someone else could sing his music for him, he does kind of turn a little bit, doesn't he?
Right, because they want the Juicy Fruits to do it.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you would turn too if you'd written this haunting ballad and you want some beat combo to do it for you, wouldn't you?
Depends how much they were paying me, Colin.
Oh, I forgot. Yes, you're more of the Philbin character.
I'd sell out.
You'd sell out, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't you? Yeah. Come on.
No, got my principles, Paul.
And where have they got you?
Sitting here facing you.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, what a fool I've been all my life. What a fool. 1 month later.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes him a month before Winslow goes, hold on, something's a bit suspicious here.
Well, he's not even trusted, isn't he, I guess?
He's like me. You're right. So he goes to Swan's Deaf Records.
Sorry, what?
Deaf Records.
Speak up.
I mean, the joke doesn't even work because it's not spelt D-E-A-F.
Yeah, but you say it like you say deaf. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You know. Deaf Records.
It was funny. I liked it.
Well, thank you. I like the look of this movie a lot. It's got so when he goes to the record company, it's all stark and white and very clinical looking. And then later in the movie, everything's very gothic and lots of deep colours and things like that. Although, if I was going to criticise something about this movie, I would say that it's too well lit at times in the gothic bits later in the movie. Everything's very well lit.
Oh. You want it partly lit?
I just like a bit more atmosphere.
No, you like a party with an atmosphere.
I knew you were as soon as I said it, I thought he's going to do Ross Abbott here, isn't he?
It's a musical film. We've got to do musical.
Can you imagine if Ross Abbott turned up?
It would be good.
It would be good, yeah.
Yeah.
What Ross Abbott character would you want?
Oh, now you're asking me to remember any of his Ross Abbott characters.
Basildon Bond? That was his name, wasn't it?
Yeah, Basildon Bond, yeah.
What was the Scottish guy? Remember the one with the braces?
See You Jimmy.
See You Jimmy,
Yeah. I think Basil Dumbon would be better for this film.
It would. He would, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go with
always
that.
Wore like a balaclava and a frogman's flippers and a navy suit, right? Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I'll go
Kung
for that.
Kung Fu.
Kung Fu, yes.
Yeah. So he's trying to get into the records to find out what's going on with his music.
Mm-hmm.
But he's thrown out.
Yeah, why do I get the feeling that this is how all our pitch meetings would go if we tried to sell something to a major company or studio, that we'd be thrown out like this?
Well, probably because you'd turn up drunk and just throw up over everybody.
I can hold it together when I have to, Colin. I'm not a monster.
Yeah, but when you hold it together, you're doing it in public.
I thought you said we weren't going to mention that anymore on the podcast, Colin.
Oh, there's nothing we can't mention. Oh,
is that right?
Oh, well, except, you know,
yeah,
those 6 months of your life we don't mention.
Yeah. My life, all right.
Yeah, I mean, what happens in Corfu stays in Corfu, right, Paul?
I thought you were going to say Bognor.
No, you went abroad for this. Laws are different.
It's a good thing that our listeners know that we're doing a bit and it's not real.
Yeah.
You know, or is it? Who knows?
Are we?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. When did that start?
Just go with it, all right?
Oh, okay.
So, they throw him out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then later he tries to sneak into Swan's private mansion, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole line of women all like singing or trying to sing because they've all got the song sheets, right?
Yeah, and this is where we meet Phoenix, played by Jessica Harper.
Yeah, because Winslow finds her singing the best. You know, she's really beautiful singing. And he recognises the lyrics as being his own.
Yeah, she didn't quite believe him at first. But she's kind of innocent as well, though, isn't she? Compared to all the other women that are waiting to be auditioned as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And we discover how innocent she is because we realise that this audition isn't really an audition about singing, is it?
No, it's more like your kind of audition process, Colin, right?
Yeah. about 1 second before I said it's... The audition is just Philbin having sex with the women. You recognise that interview technique, don't you?
I knew it. Yeah. That's why I got in there, you see. Yeah,
you did, yeah.
I like to get in there fast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And leave.
Yeah. We know each other too well, you see. That's what it is.
We do. It's just a question of who gets there first.
It is. Hey!
Yeah.
It all ends badly for Phoenix and Winslow, doesn't it? This whole audition.
Yeah, because she obviously doesn't want to be seduced by this Philbin character, so she storms out. Mm-hmm. And Winslow gets thrown out and beaten up.
Yeah, he does manage to sneak in wearing a dress, doesn't he? And he's in the middle of the orgy thing that's going on the bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Swan comes in. He swans in, one could say. And
you could if you were a bit lazy. Yeah. So he's beaten again.
He is.
He's framed for drug dealing by two cops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who Swan's paid, and he's given a life sentence in Sing Sing, which is kind of fun.
We should point out that this movie's been running, 20 minutes at this point? It moves really fast.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. They got some weird program at this prison where they remove your teeth and replace them with metal ones to stop infection.
Surely you would not want your dangerous prisoners to have metal teeth. I mean, we all know what Jaws could do in the Bond movies.
Yeah.
You don't want to go down that route,
that's
do you?
True.
You know,
no.
Chewing through the bars in your cell.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the point of it?
I don't know. It's funded by the Swan Foundation.
So what's he doing with the teeth? Because he's a music guy, right? So what's he doing with the teeth?
Yeah, go on. What's he doing with the teeth? And it
Maybe he's got a teeth fetish. Maybe he likes to bathe in teeth.
Oh, maybe that's how he makes his money. He puts them under pillows and then the tooth fairy keeps leaving him money and that's how he keeps his business going.
That's a busy tooth fairy. Unless you put a load on your pillow, you know, in one go. You know, like do a lump sum kind of thing. And
tooth fairy just writes a check.
Is that very modern tooth fairy?
Or he puts the teeth under and one of those machines where you slide your credit card on.
It'd be the 70s suit. Yeah, it'd be one of those, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I
miss those.
What?
Those machines.
Teeth?
No, those.
Oh.
Wait, I'm getting on. You know, they had a good solid whack to them when they did the credit card thing. You know, it was like.
Yeah. I've never even seen those machines.
Have you not? No.
No.
Is that
don't know, just,
is that because you never had a credit card?
Saw them in the films. Oh, I was just too young for those. I've seen them in films. Granddad told me
did
about
he?
Them.
Did he? Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. I'll believe you. I don't think the listeners do, but I'll believe you. So he escapes by jumping through a window. I hope that's not. It's not as easy as that to actually escape from a prison.
Yeah, it's a bit of simple. Doesn't he? He disguises himself in a box as well.
He does. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's a bit simple.
But it's high in reality anyway, isn't it? I mean, it's not. It's a crazy movie anyway.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of
I'm not taking it seriously.
No. So in terms of like everything else that's going on, I can go with it.
It works within the logic of the film.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So he breaks back into the Death Records and he starts trashing the place, doesn't he?
Hasn't he also? Part of the reason he escapes, isn't it, because he's heard that the Juicy Fruits are making a record?
That's right.
With Swan's going to help him?
Yeah, I think it comes on the radio, doesn't it, when he's in the prison?
Yeah. So that gives him the impetus to escape. Yeah. And he breaks into Death Records, like you said, but he's seen by a guard.
Yeah.
And then he gets squashed in a record press machine.
Yeah, he apparently nearly got badly hurt doing this.
It's a real press.
Yeah, it's a toy manufacturing press.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they put rubber, like foam rubber things in to make it look like it was a record press, but then it nearly squashed his head anyway.
Ooh.
Apparently the scream that he lets out when he's trying to get out of it was a real scream because he panicked.
Ah, method. That's what I like.
Health and safety on 70s movies. You've got to love it, haven't you?
Well, it's not much better now, is it?
Yeah, that is true. That is very true.
Say anything about that.
Yeah, we'll leave that there. It's still ongoing, that, isn't it? So Winslow gets disfigured, but his body's never found. He jumps in the river, doesn't he? Or falls into the river.
Yeah. His vocal cords are damaged as well.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And then we cut to, it's a bit later, and the Paradise Club's getting ready to open, and we get like a POV shot with someone heavy breathing as he makes his way into the club.
Yeah, I thought it suddenly switched to one of your personal films.
I knew that was coming. Personal films.
But then, after he'd climbed two flights of stairs, I knew it wasn't you. Because the camera would have just fallen forward and all you'd hear is...
What, like a donkey?
Oh, no. That's not Paul.
You're probably right, yeah. They do look steep, those stairs.
They do.
It's a fire escape as well. I mean... Not,
you don't do that, are you?
No, not anymore. At my age. No. You must be joking.
Your age? Yeah. If you've jumped out a few fire escapes at your time, those husbands.
I wasn't seeing them.
You weren't? Maybe they chased you because they were disappointed.
Always a possibility. So he breaks in and he finds himself a costume, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. He chooses a good one. Could have gone horribly wrong.
I like this costume. It's kind of, it's gothic horror meets glam rock, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mean you like it as a costume, not one you'd like to wear at your next dinner party?
I would not wear it, Colin.
You would not.
I wouldn't not wear it.
Well, hold on. Say you would wear it. That's what you're
saying. I'm saying I wouldn't not wear it.
Why wouldn't you just say you would wear it? Why are you making it confusing?
Put it this way: you can imagine me wearing that helmet, can't you?
Try not to. Oh, just the helmet. You're not wearing the rest of the costume.
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm not. It's not just the helmet. I'm not naked.
Yeah, the helmet and then just a normal suit. That'd be weird, wouldn't it?
I wear the helmet and wear my, Phantom of Paradise T-shirt that I'm modelling at the moment.
You could, yeah.
Yeah. And we get some 70s split screen stuff as we. It's the only time they do it in the movie as well, isn't it? I think.
I can only recall one split screen. I'm trying to remember if it was this point. So, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so the we get to see the Juicy Fruits are now have been remodeled into kind of like a Beach Boys type band, haven't they?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Can I? Do you like the split screen from the 70s?
Yeah, I do. I do, yes.
Do you know what I like? I like when they did more than the split screen, when they used to go really crazy and they had like four different, like you had a boxes and everything, and you could see all different angles at the same time. I kind of like that. You got a close-up of the hands, mm-hmm. like doing a disarming a bomb or something, and meanwhile there's crowds running on the other side of the screen.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. It'd be brilliant in IMAX, wouldn't it? Doing that kind of thing.
Yeah. That's actually using the format.
Exactly.
To an advantage that you can't get on a TV.
It was something, though, and it was, you'll call it a gimmick, I suppose. It was a gimmick, but it was something had a very small sort of window, didn't it? And it just disappeared.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And I assume it came about just trying to stop people watching it on TV, going to the cinema instead, because you couldn't get that on a 4x3 screen.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It didn't last very long.
No, it's a shame. It's a shame.
But your Longest Yard, I think the Burt Reynolds film, I think that has a lot of it too.
Yeah, and those, I think there's that Elvis concert movie or the ABBA movie, I think they use it as well.
It's perfect for a concert movie.
Yeah. It's a shame I think Tarantino has used it once or twice.
Well, he would. Yeah. I can imagine him doing that because he always calls back to those type of films.
I'm pretty sure he used it in Once Upon a Time in... The most
Hollywood?
Recent, that's the one, yes.
You went America, West?
Yeah, I did run through all the...
China?
I ran through them all, yes. Yeah, I think he uses it in that, yeah.
Yeah.
But here it shows the band singing, and then we also see the Phantom Winslow planted a bomb in a car backstage, doesn't he?
Yes, yep, we do, yeah.
The Juicy Fruits don't look totally sold on this image change either, do they? They seem a bit lost.
There's one of them complaining, right?
Yeah, he said he wants to leave, doesn't he? And then Philbin just gives him some drugs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, works for you.
That's good.
And then they're in a car, right, that's being pulled along, like a 1960s, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Convertible.
And the bomb goes off.
Women in bikinis.
That's right, yeah. What do you think of the Phantom's look? You didn't say.
I think it's okay. I mean, it's off the peg, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you quickly grabbed.
Mm-hmm.
It's made up from stuff in the costume, but I don't know, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Although, you think people will go, wait, isn't that the costume from the... Where's the costume in the play?
Well, and there's one guy can't find his costume.
Yeah, he's just walking around in his boxes going, where's my clothes?
Missing his cue every night.
Yeah. That's okay, fam. Can't find my clothes. I'm just going to have to do it in this.
He wouldn't look out of place, though, if he did do it in his boxes. I mean, let's face it.
No, nobody would notice.
No,
it's fine.
Yeah. Swan's then confronted by Winslow in his Phantom gear, isn't he? And Swan instantly recognises that it's Winslow, even through the helmet and everything.
Did we say that the bomb's gone off at this point?
Yeah, the bomb's gone off, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So people have died.
Is one of the Juicy Fruits dead? I can't remember.
Well, and yeah, I would think so, because he's on the bonnet of the car, right?
Yeah, so we've lost a Juicy Fruit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Never want that to happen.
No. Want them to always be ripe.
5 seconds silence for the Juicy Fruit. All right, that's enough.
I'm glad you were counting, because I wasn't.
You would just stop for the rest of the podcast, and then it just clicked
off. I would have just carried on, just in silence until you... So Swan instantly recognises that it's Winslow through all the get-up that he's wearing.
Yeah, I didn't actually think that was going to happen. I felt we were going to see a lot more of the Phantom...
Lurking.
Doing things in the theatre, lurking and blowing things up and killing people. I thought that was going to be the majority of the film.
Maybe that was one of the things that they had to change.
Because that would have been too much like the Phantom of the Opera. Because I've been running around going, ooh, Betty!
What? Oh, I get it. I just got it. I just got it. Michael Crawford, I just got it. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
It took me by surprise that. I wasn't expecting a Michael Crawford gag there. I should have done, really. so he offers him a deal, doesn't he?
He does. is going to produce his music in a specially made studio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it gives him an electronic voice box.
Mm-hmm.
And then using filters and knobs and switches, he's going to make Leech's voice sound perfect.
He does.
Which is what we have to do with you for this podcast, right? It takes a lot of work and AI to get it this
I'm not
bad.
Even real.
No. Figment of my imagination.
You've got a really strange imagination then, Colin, haven't you?
How much do I hate myself that this is what I create?
I was just thinking that, yes. Yeah. You're a masochist.
Or did the imagination create me? I don't know, Paul. I don't know anymore.
You're messing.
What are we gonna do?
With people's minds, here, Colin. You're gonna put some of our listeners in therapy.
I mean, most of them probably are, right? That's how they listen to this. It's just constantly, it's constantly played. I think they're strapped down so they can't reach for the off knob. The visitors are going, oh, he really loves it. Look at the way he moves his head when the voices are coming on, and really inside the person's just screaming for it to stop.
Be like you, really.
Stop these morons. I can't take any more. They don't know anything about anything.
Is that you're in a monologue?
He's enjoying
every time
it.
We record. Yeah, I can believe it. What do you think of Paul Williams?
I mean, he's underplaying it.
He does that in everything, though. That's his thing.
He's all right. He comes across creepy enough.
He's a very good orangutan in one of the Planet of the Apes movies.
You know, now you said it, I can
mm-hmm.
see that.
Mm-hmm. And he
I can picture. I can picture who he is in the film.
And he is Mr. Light Entertainment in the '70s on American TV. Mm-hmm.
Is he?
Yeah. Quite a good music career.
Yeah, look, I looked him up. It was very mm-hmm. impressive. Yeah, he's done a lot. I just, yeah, it's all right. It's okay.
I think the term you're looking for is odd duck, right?
If that's the term you want to mm-hmm. go for, yeah.
Well, that's a nice term, isn't it?
Nice way of saying it. Yeah.
I like Paul Williams. Yeah. Kind of a fan.
Kind of a fan.
Yeah.
All right.
So then Phoenix comes back, doesn't she? Gets another chance to audition.
And she's auditioning because, you know, obviously Winslow wants her to mm-hmm. get the part.
And Swan basically, he's trying to get her to sell her soul to him, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So this is the question I wanted to ask you. What would you sell your soul for?
What would I sell my soul for?
Yeah.
Better soul. What would I sell my soul for?
Oh, anything.
This is a deep question, Paul.
Yeah. So that crossroads demon pops up in front of you and says...
Crossroads demon? Can I have an EastEnders demon?
If you want. Coronation Street one, however you want. Emmerdale.
Crossroads demon.
Yeah, and
he called
says...
Benny?
Benny the crossroads demon pops up, right?
Yeah.
And he says, hey, oh.
Was that... Oh, is this an impression of Benny from Crossroads? Hey,
no, he's in kind of a West Country accent, isn't it? I can't do a West Country.
No. All right, we'll just do it, you know, accent. What's the go on? You be the angel.
So he said, "No, he's not an angel. He's a demon, isn't he?"
Oh yeah, sorry.
Crossroads demon. Sorry.
I'm not always getting my demons and my angels mixed up.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
And he says, "So I got this. No, I'm not going to do it.
No, don't.
I got this contract for you.
Combine Harvester song, isn't it?"
He sounds like.
You're going to give me the keys?
Yeah, I already. That's what he sounds like, isn't it?
Yeah. Right? Just do it. Yeah, do it in normal accent.
And he says, I've got this contract for you.
No. Do it in your normal accent.
He says, I've got this contract for you.
Yeah. What kind of contract?
It's a contract. If you sign it, you give me your soul.
Yeah.
And for that, you can have your heart's desire. But only one thing. Whatever it is, anything you want, one thing, you can have it forever.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are you going to do with my soul? Can I ask questions?
You can ask questions, yeah.
What are you going to do with my soul?
I'm going to stuff it somewhere. I'm going to take good care of it.
Okay.
Put it this way. Your soul will meet another soul very soon, yes. But you don't need to worry about that.
So it's more than one soul. It's a lot of assholes, isn't it? All of us? So yeah. ourselves.
Yeah. Ourselves.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So what do you want? What do you want? I've got it. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Anything you want.
Yeah. I'm thinking. It's a big deal. You can't just rush into these things. I mean, it's your only chance. Wow.
Where's the fun in that? Just jump in. Come on.
And I got to keep it clean, right?
Well, I can decide that in the edit. If you say something and I feel it is inappropriate, I will say, go again.
is that what the demon yes. does? He's like, no. That's even I can't do that.
Yeah.
Have another go. Okay. I really can't think of anything.
Oh, come on, man. I got places to go.
What,
people to haunt.
So you've asked this question to other people. What have they gone for?
Money, power, influence, big cheese.
Big cheese?
Yeah, don't ask. You don't want to know.
What?
You don't want to know.
You damn.
Ah, I don't want Damn you. Go on, you cheddar, get moving.
Yeah. I'm ignoring that because it's painful. you stop doing those puns. Can I have that as a choice?
I'm not sure I could give you that one, to be honest.
Oh, no, that's beyond your scope, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, Paul. Got everything.
What did you get, the man who's, got everything, eh?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what then. When you're desperate, just come see me.
All right. Well, what would you ask for?
I don't need to. I haven't got a soul.
No. We're reversing the play now. You're not the demon anymore. If I was the demon, what would you ask for?
I still don't have a soul, but all right.
Let's pretend.
What would I ask?
That you were visited by an angel who gave you a soul first, and then a demon came along to take it away. You know, obviously we've got to do that first. We've got to give you a soul before we take one.
Well, I mean, I could ask for, you know, boring stuff like. I can live without that. It's been a long time.
So you don't care about that? No. Right.
I could go for the boring stuff like power, money, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. You thought about this, though. I can see on your face that this is a bit. We're doing a bit now that you've actually constructed.
No, I haven't. Seriously, I haven't. Okay. No. Right. My bit consisted of the one line that I asked you, and I've just been winging it ever since. I could say all the toys that I used to have as a kid that I can't get now. You get me those, you can have my soul.
That is not all. That's great. I'm very sad at the same time.
Hey, it's me.
Yeah. Well, it's a very deep question.
You're going to spring it on me in about like another 2 years time. We'll just be doing a random episode of the podcast and you'll just go, flippers. I go, what?
Yeah. So people now have to keep listening to every podcast. Mm-hmm.
Just to find out.
For when I finally reveal what it is or who it is, I would sell my soul for.
Okay. That means you've got to listen to every episode. You can't skip one.
It's an Easter egg.
Yeah, we do an episode about something that, I'll skip this one because it's not something. No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do it.
No.
You could miss out. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
And any demons, any crossroads demons that are listening, because we might have a few, you know.
Yeah.
You need to get on this.
Yeah.
You never know. Mm-hmm.
Good. Glad we cleared that up.
Every episode. Do you remember when we used to try and be serious? Yeah. Like actually talk about the movie and do proper critique of it.
Yeah, actually use your film knowledge. Yeah.
Well, that's long gone, hasn't it? You know.
We should do it like in a podcast. They'll go, oh, do you remember that? Remember when you talked about me selling my soul? I think I've got, oh, no. No. Not that. And then just carry on.
Is that a new thing?
Yeah.
All right. So Swan asks the Phantom to sign a contract, doesn't he? As we said.
Yes.
Signed in blood.
Yeah, you'd be suspicious of that, wouldn't you?
It would cause you to pause for a second, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not just a Bic pen. Could that not do?
In all fairness, though, Winslow is running around with a helmet on and dressed like a giant bird. So he's not exactly working on all thrusters, is he?
Fair point. You know? You're right. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And this is where we get what, for me, is the best song in the movie. It's the song that Paul Williams sings. With
Not my favourite song.
Oh, is it not?
Yeah. Go on.
And we get a great montage. It's almost like a music video that predates music videos, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a montage of the Phantom working and Swan being evil in the background kind of thing, isn't it?
All right, yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I did like Swan's big table shaped like a record. I thought that was good.
That must exist in a record company.
Somebody's got it.
They must have had in that time period, 70s, 80s, that must have existed.
Definitely. Definitely. Because he sits in the middle of it.
Don't like
he?
The round table, but a record, yeah.
Great table.
Yeah, would you have one of those at work?
There's no way to get in it, though. You'd have to climb over the table, wouldn't you, to get into the centre of it? There's no gate or anything that opens that you can walk in.
No.
You have to climb over it. It's a bit undignified, isn't it?
Well, you could get a giant stylus, right, that picks you up and then glides you over the table and drops you in the centre.
This is true. Yeah, that would be good. Yeah. Like one of those giant claws, like in those machines where you win a cuddly toy.
Yeah, but I prefer like a record player.
Yeah, same
on, thing.
Yeah.
Drops you in.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
And then the table revolves around you.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Yeah. Good trying to grab your drink if you put it down on the table.
Oh.
It just keeps spinning around.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to spin at like 45 or a 33. It's going to be a slow spin. You know, there's not people flying off the table. Because that would defeat the object. It's a slow turn.
It would be fun, though. It would be fun. Yeah.
But you will, I tell you what, you can control the speed.
Little pedal underneath.
Whatever you want to call yourself, it's fine by me.
Just pump it.
Well, you just press it, pumping it. You'd get tired after about 5 seconds.
I would, actually. Yeah,
so just a pedal, whatever you want, and you just control the speed of it. So if you get bored, you could whap it up and people go flying and stuff goes flying.
Oh, I'll have to get someone to make me one of these.
Mm. Yeah.
So in the garden, be great.
Yeah.
Cat jumps on it. And then we get a moment, a really fun moment where he's auditioning different acts, isn't he, that are going to be singing in this.
Yeah, and the parodies of different styles of music.
Yeah, and this is where we meet Beef, played by Gary Graham, as we said. Yeah.
Yeah. Who I think is the best thing in the film.
Yeah, it's a great performance, isn't it, that he's giving.
I think he has got the tone of the film.
Oh, right. He knows exactly what's going on, doesn't he, and what he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's a mixture of, like, I don't know, it's like camp machismo.
Yeah, he's almost like a character from a Carry On movie, isn't he? You know, if they did a Carry On movie based in the music industry, you could picture this character being in it.
Yeah.
The Phantom's exhausted. He's just constantly being worked by Swan, isn't he, to finish this opera that he's writing.
Tell me about it.
Don't know what you're talking about. And Swan's just giving him pills constantly as well, isn't he?
Yep, yep.
And then when he finishes it, he bricks him up in his room.
Yeah, why don't you just kill him?
He can't, though, can he?
Oh,
we find out later.
Yeah, because he can't. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so he just has to brick him up. Yeah,
And we see Beef gives his first proper performance, and it's a... I know we were talking about it a minute ago, but he is a fantastically physical performance that Gary Graham gives, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Considering he was ill as well.
That's good. Yeah, I didn't know that. You can't see that in his performance at all.
But Winslow finishes the work and Swan steals it, doesn't he? While he's asleep.
He does. Steals his cantata.
Mm-hmm. He does. Steals his what?
It's called a cantata.
Is it?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Well, they mention it in the film about 1,500 times.
Oh, yeah, they do, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've seen this movie lots of times.
Yeah, take that t-shirt off. Wait, no, don't.
Well, Colin, if I must, you know.
No, don't.
And then
I don't
we
want to see the juicy fruits.
Get a t-shirt with that on.
I've seen the juicy fruits and lived.
Yeah, for now. It's opening night.
Yes. Yeah. Paradise is going to be opened.
Mm-hmm. And the Phantom realizes that Swan has once again ripped him off, and he escapes his bricked up room.
He does. Breaks through. He's got easily.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on and the hunt.
He goes on the hunt, and this is where he terrorizes Beef in the shower with a sink plunger.
Yeah, it's quite funny. Quite like that.
It is a
pushes it on his face, right?
And it scares him off for a second.
It does. Yes. And but Beef, he tries to flee the council because he doesn't want to be hunted by a weirdo. But he's convinced to stay. Who does? Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Want to hold it against him? And now that we find out that the juicy fruits are now called the undeads.
Yeah, and the stage is like, it's almost like a homage to like German expressionism, isn't it? And you know, Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, and there's a little bit of Frankenstein in there as well, isn't there? The James Whale Frankenstein. Yeah. I like definitely. That. I like that whole look of it.
That's your thing, isn't it?
I do like a little bit of German expressionism. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that.
It's the only way I can look.
But yeah, it looks good, and they're like a goth type band now, aren't they?
Yeah, the faces are painted black and white. All the clothes are black and white. Yeah,
they've gone through more style changes than you do in one episode of this podcast, Colin.
What? I don't go through any changes.
Yeah. What make you dress like a 1950s gangster? The next time you dress like a 70s pimp. I mean,
That's silly.
There we go. It's not a visual medium. But, you know, I'm not going to...
It was good, though, wasn't it?
Let's leave it as a mystery. The audience? We've got an audience. The listeners don't know what I've just seen.
Yeah.
They never will.
Didn't expect that, did you?
I didn't, no. I really didn't. Were you planning that? You just like Buck's Fizz. Is there another one underneath it as well? No! Whoa. Leave it.
No. It was just too cold for one t-shirt, but too warm for a sweater.
It's hard to find that sweet spot, isn't it?
Oh, I don't use your finger.
All right. So during this whole bit, we've got the band chopping off fake audience limbs with guitar necks with blades fixed onto the end, which are very rubbery. And cause it's all the there's plants in the audience, isn't there?
There's plants? Shrubbery?
I really need to think about my choice of words with you sometimes.
But you are right, yes. Mm-hmm. It's all like an act.
Yeah, yeah.
That there is attacking the audience and ripping the heads off and cutting their arms. Yeah, it's all an act.
It's fun.
It performs.
It's fun.
I'd imagine that would be fun if you went to see a show and they did that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And it's a good song. It's a good song. I like it.
Yeah. Still not my favourite.
Oh, we haven't got to your favourite yet then?
No.
Okay, all right. Beef comes on stage and starts singing, but then he gets electrocuted by a literal flying lightning bolt that the Phantom fires at him across the stage.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's a good electricity scene.
It is. And then Phantom gets his wish and Phoenix gets to go on.
She does, yeah, because what else are they going to do? Because the audience have gone crazy. They're yelling for more beef.
We've all been there. We've all been there, you know.
I've seen you at restaurants do that. Embarrassing.
Well, you never get enough, do you?
Especially as a vegan restaurant.
Well, why would you go to a vegan restaurant if you want beef?
No, you were dragged there.
What?
You were dragged there.
Oh, right, okay. I thought you said, no, you were in drag.
Well, you probably were too. That's not beyond the realms of plausibility.
It depends if it was the second Thursday in every month, Colin. You know,
is that when it happens? Yeah, that's a confusing schedule because you have to keep checking your calendar. Couldn't you do something a bit simpler?
I know, but I don't. I like to keep it interesting. Mm-hmm.
That's true, you do.
Keep myself on my toes kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great that the show goes on after such a terrible accident, although I guess that the audience don't know at this point that it's not all part of the show, maybe.
Yeah, we'll go with that. That's what I thought mm-hmm. too.
After the show, Phoenix finally succumbs to Swan, quite literally, really, as well, doesn't she?
Yeah, mm-hmm. she does.
Mm-hmm.
In the dressing room.
Yep. And later she's trying to avoid the crowds, but the Phantom whisks her off to the roof, doesn't he?
But he tries to tell her who he is, but she doesn't believe him.
Interesting that he reveals his face to her, but we as the audience don't see it because the camera's on the opposite side of his helmet, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
So that we get a big reveal later in the movie.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. yes, yeah.
Try not to laugh at the word helmet. I'm really trying to be mature.
She's such a child.
I know. Swan then takes Phoenix back to his mansion and Winslow watches through a skylight as they do a bit of rumpy pumpy.
He does, mm-hmm. he does. And then he's heartbroken. So he takes out a Bowie knife, and stabs himself, right?
He does. But there's a catch, isn't there?
Yes. He cannot die.
He cannot die because he signed the contract with Swan that he can only die if Swan dies.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a bit of a shit contract, that, isn't it?
Oh, I've seen worse.
Yeah, just you wait. The contract that you signed to do this.
That's right.
Forever.
That's right. Forever. Oh, you need an echo on that.
You can only die when I die.
Or maybe we'll die together. A suicide pact. Well, it'll be only suicide for one of us.
That's true. Like a cult.
Who are you, Carlina? Oh, sorry. Yeah. The Phantom attempts to stab Swan.
That's right.
But he doesn't die because he's under contract too.
Yeah, he sold his soul decades before, didn't he?
50s, 1950s. Yeah. Because we got a scene, didn't we, where a woman says she used to date him in high school mm-hmm. and shows a picture in a locker and they're all like, oh, he...
Isn't it?
Locker? Lock it. And they're like, oh, he hasn't changed all these years.
Yeah, he hasn't aged a day, has he?
Right. So we're borrowing from something else at this mm-hmm. point.
I mean, most people probably think that I've signed a similar deal because I haven't aged a day either. I look the same as I did 20, 30 years ago as well. Right? No? I'd say I'm her.
Put it this way. If this was the picture of Dorian Gray, mm-hmm. there's a picture.
Go on.
That is perfectly looks exactly the same as it originally did.
Don't know what you mean by that.
Because you're obviously doing the opposite of that book.
That's me all over there, right? You know.
Yeah. You're like staring at this painting at night with your glass of wine going, why? Why won't you age painting? Why am I growing old? Damn you, the gods of hell. Like that. Every night.
Yeah, you've been watching me again.
And then you light a jasmine candle.
I light a jasmine candle.
Yeah, then you sit back, relax.
And watch the world.
So part of your ritual.
I've got plenty.
Of rituals?
No, jasmine candles.
Oh, okay.
So later, Phoenix is now a full-on rock celebrity. She's doing drugs and all kinds of things, isn't she? And she's loving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It reminds me of another film we should do. One of the David Essex films.
Oh, like Starstruck or... Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. one of those.
Yeah, it's Starstruck, isn't it?
Sounds is it right. Starburst, is that the one where he locks himself in a castle? In Spain?
What?
There's more than one. There's two or three of them.
That'll be the day?
And the
That'll
last
be
one.
The day. That's the one I'm thinking
right,
of.
Right, the last one, he goes to Spain when he's made it and then locks himself. He won't come out. He becomes a recluse.
Yeah,
that's
the that sequel,
castle.
Isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we should do one of those. Whichever one's got the more fun music and is a bit weirder, we should
do
that
one. The first
one. The first one, I think, is just like a Saturday, like a kitchen sink
film.
Yeah,
it's got Ringo in it, though.
It has Ringo in it, working the fun
And I think Adam Faith is in it as well.
I think so, yeah. So maybe do one of the later ones that are a bit weirder.
Anyway, just a thought, something different.
Yeah.
So the Phantom then finds a film of Swan where he sold his soul 20 years ago.
Yeah, luckily he videotaped
Everything, apparently, doesn't he? Because he was going to kill himself.
Yeah, he's obsessed with videotapes, yeah. They can get you into trouble, can't they, Paul?
Don't know what you're talking about. But this tape's kind of like, as you say, it's kind of like a Dorian Gray type thing, isn't it? So as long as this tape exists perfectly, he'll never age or die.
Yes, yeah.
Interesting how the devil appears as his own reflection in the mirror, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. The devil is who you know.
Ooh, very profound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I bet you look in the mirror and see the devil, don't you?
Every day.
Tonight, when you look in the mirror, you'll do it. You'll think about it. You're looking at the devil.
It's when he smiles back at me. That's when I've got to worry.
Yeah, when you're not smiling.
Exactly, yeah. Although knowing your look, if you looked in the mirror, the devil wouldn't be you. It'd be me looking back at you, wouldn't it?
When I look in the mirror, there's no reflection. Weird.
Do you have a problem with sunlight as well, Colin?
I do, actually.
I think I know what your problem is, but you know, we'll talk about it off air. Yeah.
Okay, right. Good.
So Swan also gets Phoenix to sign a contract too at this point, which the Phantom watches on CCTV, which he seems to be...
Let's just say the whole mansion is rigged.
I'm guessing so.
For cameras.
I'm guessing so.
Yeah.
And Swan has a weird plan to kill Phoenix live on stage.
Yeah, he's got an assassin.
Yeah.
He's going to shoot her. I don't understand why he wants
to. No, I never quite got that either. So is her contract different than his? Because Winslow can't die unless Swan dies. So is hers different?
I guess he's hired a contract killer.
Oh, very good. Yes. Uh-huh. That's the loophole.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, why would you want to kill her?
Yeah, why would you?
Because there's actually no reason to, unless it affects his staying young, because she's a good singer, so you could use her in the shows for the future. Why would you want to kill the show that you've just made?
And I mean, she's not, you know.
Go on, Paul, say it.
She's not unattractive.
No, no.
I ran through lots of things in my head then, just so you know. I picked the best one.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, so it is a bit weird. I never quite understood this part of the
Maybe
movie.
Maybe we missed something.
Maybe. And I've seen it more than once.
Yeah, that's true, and you own it.
But the Phantom burns the film, which causes Swan's face to start to fall apart, doesn't he?
Yes, yeah.
And then it all comes to a head with a big stage number, a sniper and the Phantom rushing to save her on stage.
Yes, he does, yeah.
And
the priest gets hit.
He does. Instead. Yeah, with a bullet. He does get hit on. That would be weird. No, although, you're
right. He gets shot. Who knows what this?
And he's a priest. You know. Swan, we should say he's wearing a mask at this point to cover his rotting face, isn't he? And the Phantom rips it off. I don't mean he's...
And then Phoenix sees what Swan looks like and is horrified. Mm-hmm.
And we're really fastly moving to the end of this movie now, aren't we? Because this, like, this...
Yeah, well, it's just a battle and music and a fighting.
Yeah,
right?
Phantom stabs Swan, and both men die on stage, and all the audience, we should say, just treating it all like it's part of the act as well. They're all cheering and getting into it. And this is where we finally see Winslow's disfigured face for the first time, and it's pretty good makeup. It's pretty full on. One of the eyeballs is hanging out almost, isn't it? And
yeah. Yeah,
it's the only really gratuitous or nasty piece of thing that's in the movie, really, isn't it?
Yeah. So Swan dies, and because Swan dies, Winslow dies.
He dies in Phoenix's arms.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Surrounded by screams of her adoring fans at this point.
And we should say Phoenix finally recognizes him.
Yeah. And that is the end of Phantom of the Paradise.
All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for our current Patreon supporters. Until next time, goodbye.
No, we need to summarize, Colin.
So, Paul, what do you think of Phantom of the Paradise?
First time I saw this movie was probably late night on ITV when I was 10 years old, and I loved it. I thought it was great.
So we're talking 1971.
Well, before it came out.
Traveller. That's you,
me and
pal.
Marty.
Yeah.
But then I forgot about it for years, this movie. And it's only probably about 5 years ago that I rediscovered it. I've got to say, I love it even more now than I did when I first saw it years ago.
Nice.
It's completely bonkers.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it looks fantastic. It mashes together everything that I love. Gothic horror, wacky characters, 70s glam rock. It's all my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Like all that.
Yeah.
I like all the performances. I think they're great, especially Paul Williams. He's really sleazy and smarmy and smug. Don't like people like that, do you? Yeah.
Oh, well, I put up with him. Sometimes you've got to do it.
Hey, what?
Yeah.
I like all the songs, which is something that you don't often get in musicals. You know, there's always a couple of songs in any musical that you don't like, isn't there?
That is true.
And I always respond to that 70s sort of nihilistic vibe that a lot of those movies had back then. This has got it. Even though it's a musical, even though it's glam rock, even though it's silly in places, it's still dark. It's a dark movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a hit for me. Hit all the way. I love this movie. Big fan of this movie.
Great. Mm-hmm.
So what about you?
Yeah. My favourite song is the one that plays over the closing credits.
Oh, right. Okay. Is that because it's the closing credits?
Like that one. Yeah. Yeah, my God, it's finished. Phew. No, I just like it. I thought it was a good song. Okay, so I don't like this as much as you do. And I think this is one of these situations where it is not a good to first see this film as part of doing a podcast.
Right. Because you're looking at it critically.
I think this is... Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you can enjoy it as much. I think this is one that you have to see a lot of times. And also, I think it's one if you saw it... If I saw it when I was younger, I'd probably have more of a connection to it and like it more. I just found it was missing something. I can't quite put my finger on it. I would rather watch Voyage of the Rock Aliens than this.
Okay, all right.
I can see from your face that you're thinking, what a moron.
No, I'm not. No, because, I mean, I love that movie as well. I own that movie as well. Right, I choose... Right.
And I'd rather watch Streets of Fire.
See, I wouldn't. I'd rather watch Voyage of the Rock Aliens or this over Streets of Fire. Nothing against Streets of Fire, because I enjoyed it when we did it for the podcast. But I would put it at the bottom of those three for me.
Okay. Yeah, it just didn't really work for me. But I have a feeling that if I saw it a few more times, it might win me over. But for now, I'm going to say it's a miss, but I'm willing to negotiate.
That's very unlike you, Colin.
What, the willing to negotiate?
You usually stick to your guns. Oh, right, okay.
I meant if other people have got intelligent opinions about this film.
I wonder whether you should revisit it again some point in the future with maybe a couple of beers and just see how it goes then.
Yeah, maybe, maybe. And I tell you what, when I decide what I want to sell my soul for, I'll rewatch the film and I'll reevaluate it at the same time. And then when I reveal that, I will reveal my new opinion about the film.
Excellent. I look forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. I think this is the first split decision that we've had in a long time, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Mm. Yeah, and it's not like a normal split decision. It's not like you're wrong, which is what usually happens.
Thank you, Colin.
Yeah, yeah. No. So I could totally see why you like it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So that's it for this episode. And oddly, unusually for us, we've revealed what we're going to be doing next time, which is The Phantom.
Yeah, another Phantom.
Which will we like more, that Phantom or this Phantom?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm wondering whether we'll be split again.
Ooh, maybe.
Could be. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, until then, thank you for listening. And thank you to our current Patreon supporters. And until next time, goodbye.
Bye. You just grew older. You never listened anyway. That's the hell of it. Good for nothing, bad in bed. Nobody likes you, you're better off dead. Goodbye, goodbye. We've all come to say goodbye.